be turning in your Bibles with me to Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs chapter 17. The lesson this evening comes from this particular chapter in verse 22. Proverbs 17 and verse 22. We read here, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones." Friends, my two goals, really, from this message is, number one, that we leave this meeting this evening with a merry heart. And number two, that we will maintain that merry heart through the whole week, no matter what circumstances we might face. Friends, a merry heart is a joyful heart. And we are joyful on the inside because of what God is doing and because of who He is. What He's done for us. We are joyful to a point of singing, even when circumstances are not what they should be or what we want them to be. Friends, some people want to always be happy. We all, I'm sure, always want to be happy, but the joyful or merry Christian isn't always happy. That is, with the happening surrounding him, but he finds joy in Christ, despite the happenings going on around us. Friends, this particular proverb states that a merry heart is good for us like a medicine. And a medicine often soothes. That's what a merry heart does for the Christian. A merry heart soothes us and anxiety is reduced. A merry heart also soothes our attitude so that we can respond properly to people. Isn't it oftentimes without a merry heart, that's when we snap at folks? We, rather than bite back the angry words, no matter how true they might be, rather than bite them back, we let them flow forward. Friends, a merry heart will help us to stop that flow. A medicine often reduces pain, does it not? Friends, a merry heart in the Christian reduces the pain of hurt feelings, failed expectations, and misunderstandings. Friends, a merry heart, just like a medicine makes one feel better, especially when infection is removed, a merry heart makes us feel better about the situation with which we're confronted, with which we're dealing. So indeed, a merry heart is like a medicine, as the Proverbs writer tells us here. A merry heart is all of those things. So how do I receive, as a Christian, how do I receive a merry heart? What is a merry heart like? Friends, very quickly, I want to share with you six qualities of a merry heart. Number one this evening, a merry heart is at peace. I want you to turn with me to begin to Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah 59 and verse 2. Verse 2 states, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear." Now, remember that word iniquities, and turn with me back to Isaiah 53. And notice with me verses 5 and 6. Isaiah 53, verses 5 and 6. Verse 5, "But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our," there's our word, "iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all." Friends, you see, through the peace of Christ, through the sacrifice of Christ, we have this peace. This merry heart gives us peace. Turn with me, if you will, very briefly to Romans chapter 5. Romans 5 and verse 1. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it's through Jesus. Through the blood that was shed, through our immersion and baptism, coming in contact with that blood, arising again to walk in newness of life, friends, knowing that God has done that for us, knowing the peace that we have in God, a merry heart, friends, is a heart at peace. That is the peace, first of all, of conversion. We see that from Isaiah 53, 5 and 6, Romans 5 and 1. We have peace also with the merry heart as and the peace of confession. Come with me to Psalm 66. Psalm 66 and verse 18. Notice what the psalmist says here concerning iniquity in one's heart. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But you see, friends, as Christians, we have an advocate with the Father. As Christians, the Lord will hear us. Notice again, Psalm 32 and verse 5, staying there in the Psalms. Psalm 32 and verse 5 we read, I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Notice also 1 John 1 and verse 9. John writes in 1 John 1 and verse 9, if we confess our sins, what's next? He is faithful and just to what? Forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, friends, a merry heart, with a merry heart, we have the peace of conversion. With a merry heart, friends, we have the peace of confession. We're able to take our transgressions, our iniquity before the Father in heaven. And He is faithful and just, John says, to forgive us our sins. But then, friends, we also have the peace of concentration. Let's go back to the book of Isaiah. Now let's go to chapter 26. Isaiah chapter 26. We're going to notice together verse 3. Isaiah writes, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Friends, quite simply, true peace within this merry heart comes from the Lord. And as we focus upon him, that is where our peace lies. That peace of concentration upon the Lord. You see, the merry heart is a heart peace. Number two, a merry heart is a heart of praise. Would you notice with me again a few scriptures? Just turn to the book of Lamentations, chapter 3. Lamentations, chapter 3. Notice verses 22 and 23. Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. How thankful ought we to be to the God of heaven that His mercies are new every morning. That He forgives us anew, as we talked about a moment ago, each time that we approach His throne asking for forgiveness of our iniquities and our sins. A merry heart is a heart of praise. Let's turn to Psalm 34. After all, the Psalms, for the most part, are Psalms of praise. Psalm 34 and verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Let's go to Psalm 100. Psalm 100, beginning in verse 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. A couple of Psalms over in Psalm 103, Verses 1 and 2, we read, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Friends, indeed, a merry heart is a heart of praise. The praise of God ought to be on our lips and in our mouth at all times, the psalmist says. We ought to be thinking of him and what he's done and how he loves us and all of these things. A heart, merry heart, is a heart of praise. Look at Hebrews 13 and verse 15. Hebrews 13 and verse 15. "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God." How often? The Hebrews writer says continually. "Let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name." Friends, do we have a merry heart? Is the praise of God within us at all times? That's the sign of a merry heart. See, a merry heart is a heart of praise. Number three, a merry heart is a heart of prayer. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and look at verses 6 and 7. A merry heart is a heart of prayer. Philippians 4 verses 6 and 7. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Notice what Paul writes in Philippians. Don't worry about anything. Be anxious for nothing, he says there in verse 6. Don't let it get to you. "But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God." Friends, as Christians, we can rest assured that our prayers go before the God of heaven. And he hears them. And he answers them. Knowing that, friends, ought to give us a merry heart. A merry heart is a heart of prayer. Look at 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5 and verse 7. What does Peter say about prayer? 1 Peter 5 and verse 7. "Casting all your care upon him." The things of this world, friends, when it gets right down to the nitty-gritty, so to speak, they ought not bother us at all. Because we can take those cares and give them over to God. Casting all your cares upon him, Peter says. There's a phrase that I like. I don't use it often enough, most likely, most especially in my own life. But let go and let God. Let go and let God. Friends, that's prayer. Taking these things to him in prayer, casting all your care upon him. Why? Why would I do that? Why should I do that? Because he cares for me. You go to Matthew chapter 11, and you, at the end of the chapter there, and you see the great invitation extended by Christ himself. Isn't that the very thing he tells us to do? To give him our care. Just look at that together for a moment. Matthew chapter 11. Start at verse 28. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy. And my burden is light." What does he tell us to do? Verse 28, "All those that are heavy laden, those that are burdened down, all that labor, come and I will give you rest." Basically, what Christ tells us to do, friends, and we do this as Christians through prayer, is come and give our heavy burdens, the heavy burdens of this world, to him, and he'll give us something much lighter. We swap the burdens of this world for the burden that he places upon us. But notice the difference in the two. "All those that are heavy laden, all those that labor, come to him and I will give you rest. Put my yoke upon you," he says, "rather than the yoke of the world." verse 30, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. His burden is one that's easy to pull because he lifts from us the heavy things of this world. Friends, we ought to rejoice and have a merry heart as Christians because we can approach the throne of God in prayer. A merry heart is a heart of prayer. But friends, also we need to remember that a merry heart is a heart of practice. A merry heart is a heart of practice. A merry heart, friends, practices obedience. Let's go back to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 17. Hebrews 10 and verse 17. A merry heart is a heart of practice. Friends, as we practice our Christianity, that is, as Christ lives through us, as Christ lives through me, notice what the Hebrew writer says, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. He puts them away from us. How does that happen? Obedience. Giving our lives over to God. John 14 and verse 15 says what? One way, it's a verse, very easy verse for us to learn. If you don't have it memorized yet, let's memorize it together right now. If ye love me, what? Keep my commandments. That simple. So what do we tell Jesus if we don't keep his commandments? I don't love you. I don't love you. I can say it all I want to, but if I don't do it, if I don't keep his word, I don't love him. If you love me, keep my commandments. You see, friends, a merry heart is a heart of practice. A merry heart is a heart of obedience. Obedience to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Number five. A merry heart is a heart that has purpose. A merry heart is a heart that has purpose. Let's turn to the book of Micah. Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. He has showed thee, O man, what is good and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. Friends, a merry heart is a heart with purpose. You see, the problem with many is that folks have no purpose for living. Notice what the purpose of our existence is in verse 8. What doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God? What is our purpose as Christians? To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. You know, Solomon put it like this. The whole duty of man is what? Fear God and keep his commandments. There's our purpose. That's what we are to do in the Lord. A merry heart is a heart with purpose. We have three purposes for living then, as Micah describes it, and as Solomon describes it in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13. We should do justly. Everything that we do, friends, ought to be just in the eyes of God. We ought to love mercy. Friends, think about this for a moment. We ought to love mercy. How would God, if God treated us like we treated our fellow man, what chance would we have? A man asks for my forgiveness. And I tell him, I don't think you're sincere. What have I done? Well, for one thing, I haven't extended mercy. And for two, I've made a judgment that's not mine to make. Friends, we are to love mercy. That's part of my purpose as a Christian. God had mercy on us by sending His Son to this earth to suffer the things that He suffered, to show us what sin does to Him. And He died upon the cross, shedding His blood. Why? Because he had mercy on our souls. Because he loved us. And it said, and we are, number three, to walk humbly with our God. Friends, we ought not think more of ourselves than we ought to think. As Jesus said, we are but unprofitable servants. We can do all that we are supposed to do, and yet at the end, do we really deserve heaven? We don't deserve it. Not one bit. Not after what we've done to God. But you see, He has mercy on us. His grace is extended to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. My, oh my, how we ought to love mercy. And how we ought to walk humbly with our God. Knowing that it's His power that works in me. Number six, and finally. A merry heart is a heart of power. Let's turn to Nehemiah 6 and verse 8. Nehemiah 6. And verse 8. Now at this particular point, Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem are doing all that they can to try to stop Nehemiah from succeeding. They have sent reports back to Babylon, telling tall tales concerning Nehemiah, wanting to do all that they could to see that the walls were not built and that the temple was not reconstructed. They didn't want that back there for whatever reason. And now, here in verse 8, finally, Nehemiah's had enough. Notice what he says here. Then I sent unto him, saying, there are no such things done as thou sayest, but thou feignest them out of thine own heart. Friends, it takes courage to stand up the way Nehemiah did. He had people all around him telling him, number one, it couldn't be done. And number two, when he showed them that it could be done, he had all people all around him saying, well, I'm going to stop you from doing it. And basically what Nehemiah says here, when he lets Sanballat and his posse know, is that regardless of what you say, regardless of what you do, this wall is being built, the temple is going back up. Friends, what does that tell us? As Christians, we ought to have a merry heart because it gives us power. It gives us power to stand. Regardless of what may be going on around us in our lives, regardless of what folks may be saying, we know that we can stand up. We know that we can stand with God by our side. Why else would Caleb and Joshua stand up to 10 and the rest of the congregation? Because God was on their side. They were in the right. They knew that God had promised them the land. Friends, as glorious and as wonderful as the promise of the land of Canaan was to the Israelites, how much more so is the promise of heaven to those that love the Lord and His appearing? Should that not be reason enough for us to stand and have a heart of power in Christ Jesus our Lord? Turn with me, if you will, to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, let's notice verse 13. Very simple statement that Paul makes here. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Paul didn't say I can do this or that. Paul didn't say I can do a few things. I can stand up under these conditions, but if it gets to this point, it's just going to be too much. That's not what Paul said. I can do all things through Christ. Notice what Paul says there. I can't do this on my own. I need someone else. I need Jesus Christ. I need the God of heaven. I can do all things through Christ, which gives me strength. Which strengtheneth me, he says. Let's see how serious Paul was about that for a moment. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. How serious was Paul about that statement, that I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me? 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's start. We'll start at verse 24. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 24. Of the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes, save one. So at the hands of his own brethren, friends, they took Paul aside, they put him on a whipping post, and they hit him 39 times with a whip. Five times they did that to him. Why? For being a Christian. For telling others about being a Christian. He goes on and says, thrice was I beaten with rods. Three times then, he was beaten by Romans or Greeks with no such restrictions as the Jews placed upon beating. They could beat him until their heart was content. There's no doubt in my mind that he thought he was going to die more than one time. He goes on and says, once was I stoned. Friends, how many of us have been beaten or stoned for our faith? Not a one. Not a one. And we cry foul because someone pokes fun at us. Because someone calls us names. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Friends, he's showing us what that strength can do. He's telling us that because of Christ, he was able to endure those beatings by his brethren. He was able to endure those beatings with the rods. He was able to endure having bones broken by stones. Once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I've been in the deep. Friends, I can only imagine that as he came out of the waters of the Mediterranean, that's where he was shipwrecked. As he came out of the Mediterranean, I can imagine how hard he had to fight against hypothermia. Those waters are not warm waters. He comes out of the water and then he goes on and he says, in journeyings often, notice what he says here, in perils of waters, I nearly drowned. In perils of robbers, I've been beaten for what I had on my back. In perils by mine own countrymen, my own people wanted to kill me. In perils by the heathen, those that weren't my people wanted to kill me. In perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, those that claimed to be my brothers and sisters in Christ wanted to kill me. And yet, what did he keep doing? Living the Christian life, letting Christ shine through him, and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. He kept on keeping on. In weariness, verse 27, in painfulness, in watchings often, he slept with one eye open. In hunger and thirst, he didn't have enough to eat, didn't have enough to drink. In fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Friends, there were times in the winter that he didn't have adequate clothing. He couldn't stay warm. Didn't matter how close he got to the fire. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. He worried constantly about his brethren. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Friends, when I get down, this is just personal. When I get down and out about what the world has thrown at me, about maybe the stress that I might be under, this is where I come. And I realize that whatever it is that I face in this life is nothing compared to what my brethren in the first century did. I can endure a little gossip. I can endure a little backbiting. I can endure a little name calling. I can endure whatever this world has to throw at me. Because chances are, as long as I live in the United States, Lord willing, I'm never going to have to face these things. But I need to remember that as a Christian and with a merry heart is a heart of power, that regardless of what this world throws at me, regardless of the trials that I might be undergoing, I can continue to stand in Christ Jesus, my Lord. And it's because of the merry heart that I have as a Christian. Friends, a merry heart. A merry heart is a heart of peace. A merry heart is a heart of praise. A merry heart is a heart of prayer. A merry heart is a heart of practice. A merry heart is a heart that has purpose. And friends, a merry heart is a heart of power. As we put away our Bibles and we take out our psalm books, let me ask you this, friends. Do you have a merry heart? If you're here this evening and you don't have a merry heart, do you want to know what you need to do to have a merry heart? We're going to sing a psalm here in just a moment. The title of that psalm is "Are You Washed in the Blood?" Friends, if you want to have a merry heart, you need to be washed in the blood. You need to put Christ on in baptism. Let Him take away the cares of this world. Let Him take away the burden of sin that has been placed upon us. It's by coming in contact with that blood, friends, that we can have a merry heart. And we can have a merry heart the rest of our lives and throughout all eternity. Friend, if you're here this evening having never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, there's no better time than the present, because we're not promised tomorrow. James tells us that this life is but a vapor, here today, gone tomorrow. We don't know what tomorrow brings. Friend, are you here needing to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, needing to be washed in the blood? Would you do that this evening? Friend, have you been washed in the blood in the past? But for whatever reason, you've allowed the world to come between you and God. Would you come home? Would you repent of sin knowing, friend, as John tells us in 1 John 1, 7-9, that as we walk in the light as He is in the light, the blood continues to cleanse us from all sin, as we read together tonight in verse 9, if we confess our sins before Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Friend, would you repent tonight? Come home. Be washed in the blood again. Friend, if you have a need, come while we stand and while we sing.